I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders, and this is Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. On this episode, we celebrate 2025 Holy Cross Varsity Club Athletic Hall of Famer, Jerry Dickinson. Jerry was a star member of the Crusader men's soccer team from 2005 to 2008. He was a three-time captain of the team and 2008 Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year. Jerry and his class of six Hall of Famers will be formally inducted on Saturday, October 25th at the Varsity Club annual dinner inside the Hogan Campus Center here at Holy Cross. Jerry, welcome to Seder Stories and congrats on reaching the Hall.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it very much. An honor and happy to have this conversation and have a nostalgic moment of going back in the history of my time at Holy Cross, which is great. So,
oh, absolutely. We'll pack in tons of nostalgia here. I always like to begin with, who broke the news to you that you are now a Varsity Club Athletic Hall of Famer?
It was Tom Flynn, director of major gift giving at Holy Cross and has been there for quite some time. Former Holy Cross soccer player himself and a good friend of mine. And the word is that members of the committee were unable to get in contact with me for some reason. And then I got a text message from Tom Flynn who said, pick up your darn phone. and he let me know, which was great. So it was a great honor. So
you are certainly a busy man, but I'm glad he got in touch and to hear from somebody who shared in the men's soccer experience. You're just the sixth men's soccer player in Holy Cross history now to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you to represent a program that now dates all the way back to 1965?
Yeah, no, it's great. Look, Holy Cross has a storied history on all different levels, right? Basketball, football, soccer. But, I think for soccer, given that it is one of the world's most popular sports, if not the world's most popular sport, I think there's something to say about that. And, I'm very happy to carry that mantle to the extent that I can and really happy to be part of this.
I want to look at some of the specifics of your career. 2008, an incredibly special season for you and your team. As a captain, you led a Holy Cross squad that ranked top 20 nationwide, just 0.71 goals against. What made that team so stingy on defense?
Yeah, it's a great note in history. I think part of it was that the team that arrived that year, or at least that we had, especially in the backfield, was a veteran backfield. We've been playing together essentially ever since sophomore year. So, and the back line, of course, including me and Alejandro Melian, who went on to become a professional player, played for Bolivia. I mean, we had years under our belt together. And so as a result of that, I think we just gelled, the fluency and cohesiveness of the squad. But also at that point, we had been in the playoffs the year before in the Patriot League playoffs and came up short. And so that following year, senior year, we really made it to be a goal of ours to get back to the Patriot League playoffs, but then also to the championship. And we did against Colgate. We lost, but it was a great experience. So I think it's a combination of experience, time, and just the ability of our back line to do its work.
And you certainly stood out on that back line. You were Defensive Player of the Year in the Patriot League that season, a nice consolation after missing out on the bigger prize as a team. But how special was that individual honor for you as a graduating senior?
No, it was very special. I think when I received the award, Elvis Comrie was the coach at the time, and he had consistently leading up to my senior year said that I had reminded him of another great Holy Cross alum and soccer player, I believe Brian Clark. As a result, I think, a lot of that plays a role in sort of understanding that, having got that award, I think it was great. And, it was a combination of hard work over 4 years and, very happy to have taken up that mantle as well. So.
And you made the most of your 4 years. At the time of your graduation, you played more minutes than any Holy Cross player ever.
Yeah.
5,487 on the pitch. Can we call you the Crusader Iron Man? What allowed you to be out there every single match?
Yeah, that is a data point that I was not aware of. So that is that's pretty cool. So what's crazy is that I received a few red cards during my career. So I missed some games along the way, but somehow I still made it out there with a number of minutes like that. So I was luckily didn't have a whole lot of injuries And that was obviously a big part of it. And I hope that continues now into my older years as a father and everything. It was good. And you know, I have to say this, during the summertime, I worked out and prepared for the season, probably on the extreme end of things. My classmates, my teammates remember this, me being someone who you had your summer workout scheme and that regimen, and I would do it to a T. And of course, that paid dividends because you know you were healthy and also you know ready to deal with the rigors of a long season. And so that was also a big part of it. So.
It's clear that your preparation was key. Leadership was a great factor in your career. But among all those factors, when you think back on your time as a Holy Cross soccer player, what do you believe made you stand out as a Hall of Famer?
I think probably it's honestly just leadership. You know, I don't think I honestly was the best, you know, foot skilled, you know, skilled player on the team. There were many skilled players out there, but you know, I think for me, knowing that one, I will work hard and work harder than anyone else, and by doing that, that is sort of leadership by you know by engaging in the sort of work that you need to do to influence and to get other people on board and mobilize them. And so I think that's a large part of it. You know, you know, as 3-year captain as well, just being and having to be a leader at a young age, obviously a sophomore as a captain is not as that's rare. And I think at that point you do need to you mature very quickly in dealing with upperclassmen who otherwise may have wanted or you know expected to be in that position. And I have to be honest with you that early career leadership has sort of followed me through my career now as the youngest law dean in the country. And so I can thank Holy Cross for preparing me on the field and now doing it in the classroom at a law school. So.
That's incredible. All that experience paid off. Let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk more with Jerry about his path from Pittsburgh to Holy Cross right here on Seder Stories.
Leadership and excellence, in competition, in the classroom, in the community. For decades, Crusader Athletics has focused on our topmost commitment, elevating every student athlete, to reach for more, to grow more, to achieve more. Help us to continue to strengthen minds, build character, and celebrate together as one Crusader Nation. Because when we commit together, we win together. Join us, Crusaders Together.
Crusader fans, save the date for the annual Crusader basketball tip-off event Wednesday, October 29th at Oak Barrel Tavern here in Worcester. I'll be hosting a Q&A with Crusader basketball head coaches Candace Green and Dave Paulson, along with their Crusader student-athletes prior to the upcoming season. For more info and to sign up, visit goholycross.com/tip-off. I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders, and this is Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. I'm thrilled to be joined by 2025 Holy Cross Varsity Club Athletic Hall of Famer Jerry Dickinson from Crusader Men's Soccer. Jerry, you grew up in the Steel City, Pittsburgh, PA. That's a great football town. But how did you fall in love with football, the beautiful game?
Yeah, I, you know, I, as a young, young boy, I ended up playing, you know, a lot of different sports. Of course, baseball was big because of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Played football, kicked for the football team as well in high school, and played a little basketball along the way. And you know, I think by the time you know you get into high school and you start to think about where you want to emphasize your and put your efforts, it was pretty clear that soccer, if I was going to have a career after high school, it was going to be soccer. And so, but in those early years, I found love. And in large part, I remember vividly both two things: one, the 1994. World Cup in the United States, which of course I think was a first impression for so many Americans in terms of the beautiful game. And I remember as just a young boy at that point, falling in love with it and really loving the game. And then of course, again, in 1998 in the World Cup in France, yet again, that was another, you know, nostalgic moment for me of watching that that tournament and saying, all right, I think soccer is the way I want to go. And I, you know, I was skilled at it. I was good at it. You start to realize, all right, if I'm going to have a future, that's the way to go. So,
and when did you realize college soccer could be an opportunity for you? How did Holy Cross first land on your radar?
I like any you know, soccer player in Western Pennsylvania in particular, you know, I was playing at the highest levels of club ball for Beedling Soccer Club, which is a long-standing elite club team here in Pittsburgh, and then also playing for the Olympic Development ODP. And at that point, you know, you are being looked at, recruited by the time you get in your freshman year quite heavily by coaches all across the country, including here in Pittsburgh. And so I was recruited by, you know, top schools at the top, you know, Big Ten and Big East and others, but also elite colleges in the Patriot League and Ivy League. And for me, you know, it was, okay, if I'm going to go to college, I was a good academic. I needed to find a place where, you know, academics and athletics were on the same level playing field in terms of their emphasis. And so Holy Cross clearly became one of those Division I opportunity, and then, you know, top-notch academics. And so for me, it became a no-brainer by the time I was, you know, somewhere in my junior year, senior year, to say I'll commit to Holy Cross.
You certainly found that great balance at Holy Cross. When you look back at your time as a student athlete, who are the folks you met, coaches, professors, teammates even, that most impacted your life even to this day?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think on the athletic side, certainly Elvis Comrie, he was sort of a legend in and of himself, given his character and his personality and his success as a coach. You know, one of the few African-American soccer coaches at that time, for sure, in the country, especially at the Division I level. And someone who I think, you know, we got along because we also sort of shared in our own stories and struggles of growing up in unique circumstances. And so he certainly, the head coach was certainly one of them. Anthony Cashman. Tony Cashman, you know, who headed up and still does the director of Distinguished Fellowships at the university. And, you know, he's someone who pushed me to apply for, you know, a Rhodes Scholarship and the Truman Scholarship and ultimately, walked me through and helped me achieve and become a Fulbright Scholar. And so, you know, that is someone who for sure was had a major impact on my academic career. And then, you know, President McFarland as well. That was a huge impact. I had quite a good relationship with McFarland during his time when I was there. He played a central role in a number of my efforts at graduate education, including going to law school and writing letters of recommendation, and someone who I've stayed in contact with. And so that was another person who really, truly, Father McFarland, having a major impact on my career at Holy Cross. So
that's wonderful. Some really impactful people there who set you on your course to land where you are today. We'll talk a little bit more about that in our final segment. But I have to ask you, in 2007, you're already a captain of your team. It's your junior season. You have your best finish in the Patriot League, regular season champs. What are some of the great moments on the pitch, some of the celebrations that you remember from that season in 07?
Yeah. No, it was a pretty incredible year, 07 and 08. You know, I think, you know, obviously getting to the Patriot League playoffs was a big deal. You know, we had a number of seniors who had left us who were pretty prominent in the squad, and so I think we knew that coming up during that season we were going to have to be ready to go. And we ended up playing, I think, some pretty top-notch teams across the country out of conference as well. And so those were some amazing experiences. And then I believe it was the summer before, it might have been the summer of 2007, that we actually traveled to Barcelona, Spain as a team and actually spent time over there playing against second and third division teams. And really, you know, having an incredible experience that I think really carried over once we got into our junior and senior year. So really, really an amazing experience at that time.
And you carried momentum into 2008, runner-up finish in the Patriot League tournament. Only one goal scorer in that championship match. It was you in a 2-1 decision against Colgate. What were the emotions like on that pitch, knowing that would be the last time you'd play with the Crusaders?
Yeah, that was a fantastic weekend. We had beaten American University in a PK shootout at the end. And I remember I had scored that last PK that won it. And I remember giving Elvis Comrie a big hug, and we certainly didn't expect we'd get that far, and we did. And then in the championship game, in a cold day out there in Colgate, and we had a good relationship with that team. There were some other teams where we had some bad blood, but Colgate, it was always sort of a gentlemanly sort of approach and classic game. Came up short, but I do remember scoring that. I think it was either the first or second goal, but it was really, really incredible. But as you say, you start to see once the final whistle blew, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, wait a minute, that might have been my last competitive game as a Holy Cross Crusader. And hey, look, if it's going to be the championship game of the Patriot League, and even though we lost, I'll take it. It was a great experience. So.
It's so clear that you and Coach Comrie had a unique relationship, a close relationship. Yeah. Looking back on it now, how do you feel you grew most as a player and a person in his program?
Yeah. As a player, for sure. I probably was, and I think I vividly remember this being interviewed by news outlets at the time. I probably, if I wanted to throw my hat into the professional ring, I could have. And certainly, he prepared me in a way that allowed me to potentially go on to play professional ball. Of course, I had other aspirations and interests, so that certainly that wasn't in the cards. But he certainly was helpful in that approach because he did play professionally. I think personally as well, I go back to the sort of personal leadership dynamic. One thing I learned is that. You're captain of team, you in some ways you're responsible for a lot of people, right? And so when you lose or you win, people are looking to the captain and saying and sort of telling their narrative about that experience. And so one thing I learned is that I had a overtly sort of institutional love for the team. That is, we needed to do everything we could, not just to win the championship, but do it for Holy Cross as an institution, right? And to get back to being an NCAA team, which we never actually ended up doing. But, I think that was a large part of his understanding that this is just not about my own experience and career as a college player, but this is about building up the institution and making it great. And I think we did in that last year. We came up short of the championship, but that was a great experience. So.
Let's take one last break. When we return, we'll follow Jerry Dickinson's path from scholar to law professional right here on Seder Stories.
Leadership and excellence in competition, in the classroom, in the community. For decades, Crusader Athletics has focused on our topmost commitment, elevating every student athlete to reach for more, to grow more, to achieve more. Help us to continue to strengthen minds, build character, and celebrate together as one Crusader nation. Because when we commit together, we win together. Join us, Crusaders Together.
Don't miss a moment of Crusader Athletics on the Hill this season. Tickets for Holy Cross men's hockey, football, and men's and women's basketball are now available. All season ticket members will also receive 10% off at concession stands and at the college store on game days. For more info, head to goholycross.com/tickets or call 1-844-GO-CROSS. I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders, and this is Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. On this episode, we're celebrating Holy Cross Varsity Club Hall of Fame inductee Jerry Dickinson from Crusader Men's Soccer Class of 2009. Okay, Jerry, after graduating from Holy Cross, you earned an incredible opportunity as a Fulbright Scholar in Johannesburg, South Africa. You studied comparative constitutional law and worked as a human rights advocate. I can only imagine the kind of lasting experience that left on you as you were growing into a professional working in law.
Yeah, no, it was a great experience. Thanks to Dr. Cashman, of course, through the Distinguished Fellowships Program and office at Pitt, at the Holy Cross, and that's how I was able to get there. And so, you know, that was an amazing experience. You know, I planned to go to law school immediately out of Holy Cross, but I was able to defer because of this Fulbright that came down the pike. And yes, I was in South Africa, Johannesburg, at the University of Wits, Wits of Botswana, and that was a great experience at the Center for Applied Legal Studies. Yes, I studied and did comparative constitutional research and writing. I turned some of my research into publishable articles about a year later after my Fulbright, and then I did work as a human rights activist, actually working to represent, alongside South African lawyers, the poorest of the poor, squatters in eviction proceedings in South African courts, which was just, you know, enormously. And this was all before I got into law school. So I had a very, very, very on the ground international comparative perspective on the law before going to law school in the United States. And so I can't thank Holy Cross and or the Fulbright program enough for really getting me started in my career as a lawyer. So,
what I love about your path, Jerry, is you kind of packed the best of both worlds. You have this great experience at Holy Cross. You get to play soccer in Europe. You're a scholar in South Africa, but then you blend all those experiences and bring them home back to Pittsburgh. You're now at the Pitt School of Law as a dean. Yep. I've got to ask, what do you enjoy most about your job? And on a daily basis, how special is it to work with the next generation of law professionals that come through your halls every day?
Yeah, well, you just mentioned it. I mean, you know, it's the students as a dean, and even just when I was just a faculty member, it is the focus and emphasis on students. You know, we have students coming in from all across the country from different backgrounds and who are entering into the legal profession. And, you know, I still teach constitutional law in the first year of law school. And so I have 80 students who are green and excited to sort of learn the law and go out there and make a difference. And when you look at that and you look at all the things that are happening in the world and around our country, you say to yourself, well, I think the future of this country is going to be okay because we have great leaders coming out of law school like Pitt and who are going to go on and take up the mantle of leadership in this country, whether it be in business or law or medicine or you know, nonprofit organizations or politics, whatever it may be. So that's really the best part of my job is seeing the students overseeing a law school with such exciting students. You know, the other part of it is that, you know, Pitt Law is, you know, a major research institution, and sort of we're out there in the world making a difference, talking about some of the most important issues, whether it be faculty or staff or students. So that's also another aspect of it. But also, even just from a leadership perspective, as I mentioned before, that sort of that sense of loyalty to an institution, right? I had that when I was at Holy Cross as a senior, as a junior captain for that soccer team, even, you know, representing Holy Cross. And when I'm always thinking about it from the institutional perspective, what is the best for advancing this institution of the University of Pittsburgh? And, you know, a lot of that leadership skill and that leadership sort of perspective derives directly from my time at Holy Cross. And so it has certainly helped me to where I'm at now. And now I hope to take on, you know, a big role of leading a major R1 institution law school to great heights. And Holy Cross to thank for that. So.
Oh, that's so great to hear. And with your eye to the future, I'd love to hear the kind of advice you would give to current Crusaders about making the most of their athletic and academic careers, because so many of them we talked to on this show, Jerry, came to Holy Cross for the exact experience that you were looking for, where they could have it all.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I say, if I would have done it over again, I would have, as my mother, my late mother once told me, to sit back and smell the roses sometimes. And so one thing I would say to Holy Cross Crusaders who are both athletes and also students and doing both is it's a lot of hard work, right? But at the same time, you know, you do have to take time to sort of relax and enjoy life, because once you leave the halls of Holy Cross and you go out into the real world, it's a whole different ball game. And so, you know, one thing I wish I would have done a little bit more is smell the roses and enjoy life a little more. I was so focused on what was, you know, the perfection and the career path and everything, but that was, you know, but I think that's for a lot of students. So they're not in a different boat than I was. You know, the other thing I think is realizing and understanding that those are some formidable years. I mean, you are growing and developing in ways that in many ways, it's going to, you know, sort of track your career. And so I always say to folks, you know, look back at that time at Holy Cross, identify the mentors who helped you, right, to get to where you're at. And at the end of the day, you know, you're sort of standing on the shoulders of giants. They're, you know, intellectual giants, many of the fathers at Holy Cross. These are folks who really helped us get to where we're at. And so I always say, make sure that you look back and you do the same and you help pull up other folks and mentee and mentor other individuals, especially at Holy Cross. I do this today a lot as a Holy Cross alum. Folks who want to go into law, for example, I spend time speaking with them, second year students or third year students at Holy Cross. And I think that's really important to take a step back, give back to the very community that brought you to where you're at. And I think that's really sort of a Holy Cross, you know, mantra. I mean, it's really giving back to the community, men and women for others. And that's really something that has stuck with me for quite some time. So,
Gary, I've been hosting Seder Stories for many years now. I've asked this question a lot. You're the first person to say, stop and smell the roses. I love that advice because we have such exceptional student athletes, but I think sometimes you're just trying to pack so much into four years, you forget it's only a blip on the radar in the big scope of things. And when all is said and done, those enjoyable memories you have with teammates and on campus, those are the things that are going to last.
That's right. Well, hopefully when I come up there at the end of October with my two daughters, I'll tell them to smell some of the roses out there at Holy Cross. If they're still around, I don't know whether they'll be there, but I say that to my daughters, smell the roses. And I said, well, this is the campus where I didn't do that, but I'm going to say to them that you should do that as much as possible. So, yeah.
I love it. Another full circle moment. And lastly, Jerry, you mentioned your late mother. You will have the rest of your immediate family there. It's going to be so special to share this on the Hill with them. What does this mean to them? And how does it really put into perspective all that you've accomplished to be able to share this with your family in Worcester?
No, it's great. And, you know, for my two daughters, especially, and my wife, who is a Holy Cross Crusader 2011, she played on the women's hockey team. And so it'll be great for the girls to see it all in action. We'll take them up to the fields and the arenas where we all played in some way, shape or form. So that'll be great. But I think really, you know, from a legacy standpoint, just letting my daughters see the hard work that we put into our work and education at Holy Cross, and to see the fruits of that labor is really important for my daughter. So looking forward to that aspect of it. So,
Jerry Dickinson, congratulations again on this awesome honor. It's been great spending this time with you, and we'll see you at the induction ceremony October 25th.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thanks, Jerry. My thanks to everyone for tuning in as well. We'll be back soon with another episode of Seder Stories. Until then, tell your fellow Crusaders about Seder Stories, available anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundCloud. If you love hearing Crusader stories like these, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. That's going to do it for now. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Kevin Gale. Go Cross, go.